I read the minutes.
Well, that sounds, that one's not actually a zone change, is it?
Yeah.
Yes.
To joint HN.
And I still have Urban Pine not getting theirs done because we don't have a signed agreement. We have an agreement written out. It's just not signed.
I forwarded it to you today.
That was her application. That wasn't the agreement.
There wasn't. There never has been an agreement.
We've never had signed agreements?
I don't.
I think they've just always taken the application as the whole kit and caboodle and either approved it or not. I don't think
that's why I asked her, what did she have in the past? I sent it to the wrong part, Jennifer, though. So I will do it again and send it to the right Jennifer and copy you, and you could say, this is acceptable. Process.
I think that's what I've seen. That
God, I'm annoyed with myself.
Yeah, I'm trying to think on the other Service Spring and the other ones. I don't believe.
You don't have it signed by them at some official time.
No.
You sent me the agreement, and it has all our names. We never sign anything.
What I can find out too.
So the rest of the agenda here, jet additions. I did not talk with Jeff Cole. He sent me a couple of texts and wanted to set up a meeting with Dawn, and I just said we would be discussing tonight. So, we're just still in the information gathering stage, aren't we, or... What's
Eric and I are in the drafting, the zoning resolution drafting stage.
Yeah, Dawn and I did speak with Jeff, and there's lots of information to share. I think what it comes down to, and I'll be happy to say this in the public meeting, is that what we are trying to do with the moratorium is not what Dana is accomplishing. They are a leader, and I have all the documentation in what they're accomplishing, and they started working with us a long time ago. So this isn't about hundreds of acres going into a solar field. This is about a landlocked piece of property where our partner, our community partner who sits on a CETA and a JEDS, needs us to move forward, not 6 months from now, but today. Sorry you didn't talk to him. You could have learned all this on your own.
Well, and
did you talk to him?
I talked to him, and he didn't realize. I said, it's on the agenda. And I said, anybody's allowed to come and comment publicly on anything that is on the agenda. And he said, I just said, somebody, you know, I'm just throwing this out. You don't have to be more than welcome to come to the trustee meeting and explained your side or whatever, and that is on the agenda, and that's as far as I went. He explained the emails, though. So he just said, I didn't know anything about it. He says, we got this email, we're discussing it, this was going back and forth, this is forward, this is forward. So I thought maybe it was before I came onto the board, and he said, no, it was March of 2022. But so I did call and I asked Eric, I said, was this communication anywhere in your reports that maybe I could have missed reading it that they were inquiring about it? And he said no.
Yeah, I don't think anybody wants to stop Dana from progressing with this project. So we can surely discuss it out there. And if you do want to stop Dana from this project, I can't wait. wait to hear your reasoning.
My thought is, I'm not just stopping anybody. I just think we need to have a policy on solar fields that's equitable and fair for everybody, be it Dana, be it, you know, John's heating and air conditioning, that it's consistent, that, you know, that we manage it so we don't have hodgepodge everywhere. It's in, you know, I was talking with Brandon Sellhorse, for example, at the, you know, the one at along 475, there by the other Dana plant, that's in a floodplain area. So he goes, you know, everybody thinks, oh, you're chewing up commercial space. He goes, no, that's a floodplain area. We can't build anything else anywhere. So we manage our, whatever their zoning is, to allow it in floodplain areas like that, which I didn't know. I would have guessed that was being commercial there. So, you know, that's what I think our goal should be, not to, like I said, say no to Dane or no to anybody else. Just let's come up with, you know, that's good for businesses.
Right, but
that's
we're
good
a roadblock right now, and I don't think we want to be a roadblock to a
project. They just closed on the land 3 weeks ago. I mean, and, you know, as far as Dana being a, you know, community partner, well, where were they when we asked them to partner on the interchange? I mean, I'm all about, well, let's work with them, but let's, like I said, work something that's not just custom for them, that fits for the whole entire township.
Well, you know, 36 hours later, they would have had no problem presenting it. So we'll talk about it out there. Yeah.
All right. So our departmental head, we're getting back into our routine. Departmental. Sir Harold, you shared with me we have 21 applicants for the...
21 applications we've received. And just an update on the process. I have acknowledged all 21 of them, so all the applicants have been notified that we received their application, and it's being reviewed, and we'll contact them if we need more information or to schedule an interview. all the applications were sent out to all the search committee members, and so they're currently under review. I asked all the search committee members to sign a confidentiality agreement, very similar to the one that we used before. And we have a search committee meeting scheduled June 13th at 5 p.m. right here. And in the meantime, looking into a company called FD Backgrounds. It's a company in Nashville, Tennessee that specializes in public safety background investigations. And that's
employee
pretty
impact.
Much...
Employee impact.
Yes, yes.
So you said your first meeting is next week?
June 13th, Tuesday at 5 p.m., yes.
And I guess, so at that, you're going to start to triage, for lack of a better word, the applicants?
Right. I sent everybody a list of all the applicants, and so they have a place to make notes if they choose.
Is our posting still out there?
Yes.
Okay.
And as far as posting is concerned, I learned today through our personnel director that there was a, I'll call it a minor...
a description discrepancy.
Description discrepancy on that, so that will be rectified tomorrow.
Okay. Do we have a mechanism in place... Do we need, or like, Zoom, or I mean, if we went to the committee, do an interview with some of these, from what you indicated, 10 of them or 11 of them are from out of town?
9 of them are from Ohio. The rest are other states. The last one I received today was from, I received one today from South Africa.
I'll let you figure out the time differences there. But if the committee decides they want to talk to them, do you need Zoom, or can you do simple phone interviews or for a first pass?
We'll figure that out. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if we can do that out here. I'm guessing there's probably a way.
Yeah.
We'll figure
sure
that out.
There's
the
phone interview with the speakerphone, yeah. Okay. From what, do you think it's a good group of candidates from what you can tell?
I haven't read them all yet. I'm still going through them myself. I think there's some that are promising, yeah.
Okay. And then on the full-time posting, when do we anticipate having that up?
Matt was on vacation last week. He is back today. He had meetings downtown all morning, so he didn't get in the office till this afternoon. I haven't even talked to him about that yet. He had suggested a change in the classification. So we need to talk about that. Dawn and I have already discussed it, so I have to. We should be able to get that going probably tomorrow, I would think.
Okay.
Certainly, it'll be this week.
Yes, absolutely.
And then the proposal from. Did you get a chance to look at the appliance proposal that Scott submitted?
I have not.
That kind of goes along with the $20,000 we need to spend for the plan. It's like one big happy package, isn't it?
Well, I think it's a start. If you go back to, the stove is 20 plus years old. There's one refrigerator that when I was back there last week, it was old. We don't have an ice maker. So some of the things that I guess the
this was discussed with
growth.
Gavin and Harold 3 months ago when Gavin was putting the budgets together.
Yeah, it was about putting it in the budget.
Gavin, will you explain what you told me about the budget? You did not want to change the figures at that point.
I said you can adjust appropriations.
Thank you.
I think Barbara is just saying, are you making sure you're not spending $20,000 and then you're going to redo it and they're going to come in and say, I know your kitchen's right there, but actually your layout should be this way.
Well,
then
we'll work around the appliances. My opinion is you can work around what is significantly there because you could be talking a year out. Like I said, it was discussed previously, and it was reviewed, and Gavin had it said the appropriations could be there with no problem.
If we take action, I guess the question from
you just raise appropriations at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, and Scott Ford, did Scott Ford do the sheet? They did.
I think it was in the package.
The one with the appliance center?
No, not that one.
I asked him to get some local pricing.
Did I get everything this time?
Yep.
Okay. And this one will throw it back at me.
That's why I try and sign last. Papers come and go.
I asked Scott just to get some local pricing, and there's a summer better price at Home Depot, Summer Appliance Center, just, you know, trying to support local as much as possible. So if we move forward on this tonight, we could do an up to amount, and
so he's got clothes washer and clothes dryer on there. Are washer and dryer worn out?
I think they were talking about maybe separating, doing certain things in one of the commercial washers and other items of interest in off onto a different wash machine because of the contaminations on different items that could be in the washer when they go to use them.
That's one of the things I've heard from both of the architects that I've talked to about, you know, the renovation project. They both talk about, what did I tell you, hot, warm, and cold areas in fire stations. And the hot area is where the equipment is stored, the trucks. The cold area is like living quarters and that sort of thing. The warm area is where the turnout gear, where the lockers and so on are, because turnout gear shouldn't be in the hot area, it shouldn't be in the cold area. And this is all new stuff. New, and I don't know if there are regulations or if it's just they know it's coming and so get ahead of the curve. But when they come back from a fire, there's potential all kinds of carcinogens and contaminants and so on the turnout gear that you don't want that stuff.
In a regular washing machine or what they're washing their sheets in for their beds, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Or even, like I said, stored in the cold area.
All right. So there's that. Jet additions. And the updates, Harold, I did talk with Keith Mahalski, who actually is a client of the bank. He runs a company called KCS Contracting. They are a commercial contractor. They've done work for Promatica and some other entities, and he said he would be willing to, sometime late next week, he could come through, and based on your conversations that you have had with the contractor, similar with the Gavin's conversations, he says, I could give you a ballpark number of some of the renovations that you're talking about. Because he was saying, yeah, there's some different, and I didn't know this, that for example, the dormers have to have a 4-hour fire rating drywall versus a conventional drywall.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you're sleeping on site of a commercial building. So he says, again, never knew that. You think drywall is drywall.
Mm-hmm.
So he can, you know, for that potential $20,000 architect expense that we're talking about, that based on those conversations, your project's going to be X. You know, is it 250? Is it 350? What does it look like? What that number look like? You know, how do we separate the turnout gear from those, not diesel fumes aren't slowly deteriorating? How do we, you know, expand the dormer? How do we do a couple offices out there? How do we add a couple of restrooms on the outside once the septic is hooked up here, or sewer's hooked up here, not septic? So it'll at least give us a little more education on a number of what we're looking at total budget-wise if we move forward with that. The residential TIF update, Dawn, on that, I saw that, so we have a draft.
Mm-hmm.
I guess our next steps, we need to the county have a look at that, or?
I think, yeah, the partners need to talk it over. Mm-hmm. So, who do you want to have a copy of it?
Well, and this is a thought for Gavin as well, from an accounting standpoint, that, you know, Dawn had put in the draft agreement that the developer would be responsible for the sewer, the township would be responsible for half of the intersections and the white, and then 100% of black, and then the county would be responsible for the other half of the intersections. Not knowing the timing of everything, when it can be completed, obviously the sewer would be done first, but correct me if I'm wrong, the way I'm reading that agreement is that once the valuation, new valuation comes in, I mean, to me, the easiest would be a third, a third, a third, but could we legally escrow those funds for the widening of black or the intersections?
The way it would be done is, let's say, for easy math, a third, a third, a third. Gavin gets the township's third, and he's putting it into a specific fund.
Yeah.
The fund doesn't have, so it...
Doesn't necessarily need to be an escrow yet.
Right. That's what I think is how that works.
Right. And then, I guess, how...
But that's just our share. I thought Chuck was talking about everybody's share.
So, if the valuation is going to be on each parcel.
Yeah.
So if the valuation's 1,000 today and it's revaluated 1,500, so 75% of that $500 increase gets split a third, a third, a third.
Yep.
So, you know,
we get a third.
Who's going to hold the money?
We get to put it towards Black Road. But correct. What I thought I heard you saying is you want the partners to also put it towards Black Road.
No, the partners would have, I mean, the...
They're going to be fronting their money.
They're going to be fronting their money for the sewer up front. And the county will be fronting, you know...
So you're worried about where we're going to put our money?
Well, no, how we account for it.
Why?
Because we're going to have money be coming in before it's spent. So as soon as he puts that sewer in, the value goes up. The value could go up next year with a new valuation from the auditor's office.
I still don't understand why you're worried about where the money's going. He puts money places the time.
Will we be able to get an accurate accounting of what that money is on the increase? Like, do they give a report? We haven't done this before, so I don't know what the reporting will be coming back.
No, and that's the thing. Some of the things I think we need to talk through, because the county hasn't done this either. It's been done other parts of the state, but this will be the residential TIF, and I'm presuming it will somewhat to the commercial TIF.
Resemble?
Yeah. From as far as the reporting from the auditor's office.
So Voyers does that for us, right? We send this building just went up. And he implements the TIF portion of it. That's what we have to do every year. That they want that accounting. So, right, how do you now know from Anita that you're getting $500 more from this parcel?
Hopefully we're hiring some consultant that does it just like Voyers.
I mean, right.
Okay.
I mean, we don't have that capability.
Voorhees does is fills out the form. We have a list of parcels and we run the with valuations as of the year that we did the TIF. Each year, October, November, we take that list, it gets looked at and see if there's any increases in the values of any of those parcels. If it's a significant amount, as it happens, we've had one report to file, one DTE-24, and Voorhees did it, filled in the blanks. Harold signed it, and we sent it down. And so the next time around, when you get the breakout of the taxes, you will see what that one extra parcel brought in. Yeah. That's what that is.
Okay. So the hard part's going to be in the residential is that you have like two large parcels right now.
Right.
And then they're going to break it down into 100 smaller parcels. And how do you get your baseline from that standpoint?
Mm-hmm. That's what was in my mind too.
Because it's not.
Yeah.
Not the same from that standpoint.
Learning.
Yeah.
And they don't even. That happens when they. What is it that they do? They do them a plat at a time. It's not like they go and do the whole.
Yeah.
So somebody will have to keep track of that. Yeah, as it develops.
Well, and if that's something that we have to engage Voorhees or something, that expense would be a reimbursable expense through the TIF, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Of course, you have to make enough money off of that third of those parcels of that TIF over the rolling 10 years to. You can
do
always take it in, but it's not, there's no guarantee that it's all going to be recouped, but you can hope. Right?
Yeah.
So when it gets platted, they assign a value to the unimproved plat. Then when a house is built, then it gets a new valuation there. So it's going to change. It'll be changing for the next 10 years.
Potentially more, or 20.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's a
if it doesn't sell
10 years, I mean, there's, I don't know how many acres over there, 60 or 140 or something
so
like that.
So you need to talk to the county or the township or whoever has done it in the state of Ohio and how they manage the process.
Yeah, Franklin County and Delaware County, per Mike Panuski, have done them. So.
Right, and does it work like the commercial where you start the meter?
Right. Who was the guy at the Township Association dinner from Anita's office?
When we were sitting there.
Yeah.
I'd have to go back and look at my notes.
And have him do the legwork with us first.
I think he just left.
Eric left.
Okay.
The head guy retired. Eric, he lives over in Henry County. The head guy of the health department left.
Eric Zagadinsky.
Yes. He left.
Yeah.
End of May. So I don't know who's in charge of the health department now.
I don't know. I was going to ask Chuck that because he's...
They did not, there hasn't been an announcement. I didn't go to the, I think there's a search committee there. They haven't replaced him yet.
Probably Paul Commissary, who's the president of the...
DAC.
And Carmel.
Yeah.
I think was on it also. I don't know if he knew he retired.
Yeah, I got it. I didn't understand.
Iowa County, Henry County.
Sorry, wrong way.
Yeah.
But I think somebody in Anita's office just left, so I will.
Yeah. There was a gentleman, and I can't think of his
if
name.
If I find out who, I'll
Trudy and I know. Were talking to him at the Township Association. I can picture him, but I can't think of it.
At the end of the table.
Yeah, I can get the attendee list from Bob Bethel. Mm-hmm. He's got that.
Is it the fish fry?
All right. A couple other things in here. Carol, there's no updates on the park improvements other than the fitness rack is installed. I know we have a letter here. Yeah.
That's it at this point, yes. It's been installed, and this picture is prior to the mulch being put in, but the mulch is in, so it's now usable.
At one of the maintenance meetings, they had mentioned about smaller equipment for smaller kids by the pickleball courts. And I see on the next door neighbor app, people are starting to ask if there could be, over in Keener Park, if there could be a couple people wanted to know if there was any way that smaller kids stuff could be put in closer towards that area so the parents can kind of watch the kids, I guess, if they're playing pickleball. So there was a big conversation going on the next door app concerning smaller equipment for the smaller kids.
Well, I don't know, because north of the pickleball courts is the leach field for the restroom.
At the horseshoe pits to the south.
Yep. We'd have to look for a spot.
Anyways, they were discussing that there doesn't seem to be a lot of smaller playground equipment in Keener Park.
The original plan was here's for the little kids and that's for the older kids.
Yeah, so now the parents are, or they're playing pickleball, or the kids are playing softball, and the parents are wondering if there's a smaller spot that they could herd their younger kids to that aren't going to sit and watch a ball game. So it just was being discussed.
I don't find that equipment out that un-age appropriate. That didn't come out right. Non-age appropriate. You know, there are swings there. There's a teeter totter. There seems to be. We could probably add something to that space.
Just throwing it
out. But to have that over there, we have that.
Yeah. They wanted it. They were talking about having it.
Two places.
Yeah.
But we could probably add something to that space.
And this does get used a lot.
Mm-hmm.
In the summer.
So now the adults are playing more over into the big park.
Right.
They want to take their...
Right.
Now that pickleball court is there, they don't have any place to leave any of their kids, you know, five or six.
I thought that was all grandparents playing.
And I know this is a working session, but I did want to discuss something that we have been talking about on the sidewalks, on that Safer Grant program. Seems like, you know, because we was talking about how to connect the divisions, like Renwood coming through down to here. Man, I saw a mother pushing a stroller with two little kids the other day, and it scared me to pieces. There was last night when I came by, there was two kids with ice cream cones riding their bike on the side of that road, like this. And I'm going, you know, so if there's any way, we're talking maybe about trying to do something with a roundabout and trying to work with Hoff.
Yeah.
You know, had mentioned about maybe trying to just do, instead of the whole sidewalk, maybe trying to expand Albin Road over a little, how they got the bike path on Monclova. But the more this summer's coming and the more I go down there, the more family or kids you're seeing connecting between there and Freeze Daddy.
Dave Gideon, who I talked to, T-McCox, says when they asked if the county, when they bid this, if they could put the sidewalk in here as part of the bid, like they did over here when the county resurfaced Monclova, they put the sidewalk in as part of the bid package.
So when you see things like that visually, it's like, eek. So.
How right is the right-of-way over here?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I was putting that according to the park improvements.
Because it does seem to me, I don't remember. When we talked about this, when Ron Myers was still here, we talked about doing the sidewalk there. And his concern was that it would have to be awful close to the Albin Road. The right-of-way apparently isn't wide enough to have it 6 feet from Albin Road. It would have to be a foot from Albin Road. I don't know. So.
Yeah.
We, in the newsletter, highlight our 0.8 of a mile walking trail at the park, and I've always suggested that we put that in here. You don't need cement. You don't need it in the right-of-way. We can have a walking trail around our building. Much like we said the church on Strayer should do.
But she's talking about a sidewalk all the way up.
I'm talking about a bike path.
Well, we only have control over this property. Correct. That neighbor isn't going to let us put anything in their yard.
No, that's why Adam had suggested when we were talking about the SAFER grant. I forget where we were at when we were talking about the SAFER grant.
It's not the SAFER grant.
Oh, it's the school trail safety.
Safe routes to schools. And we've talked about that several times. And the county would have to be involved. We would have to be involved. The school would have to be involved. And we've just never managed to get that all put together.
Haven't herded all the cats together.
Right.
Well,
right, exactly.
But this corner is significant.
Right.
Yeah.
So...
And if you do
something
right
now,
that could be pretty redone when the roundabout comes in.
Or we keep it there.
Yeah.
The roundabout's going to have you circled. They'll never follow it.
So I'm just, with the roads and the constructions and the roundabout 2 or 3 years out, it just might be a good time to start talking again to the school and to the county. And like Adam says, who's going to maintain those sidewalks? The homeowners aren't going to. That's why he definitely was pushing for a bike path that's labeled bike path. Just like, doesn't Monclova come right through there? Monclova underneath the bridge has, it says bike lane?
Down there?
Mm-hmm. Isn't there down by Baker's Kitchen and coming up to the corner says
yeah,
bike lane?
And I think you're crazy if you drive that bike lane too.
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
No.
Well,
it's like, yeah, right down
there.
They're
50 mile an hour roads.
Yeah.
Yeah, right through the middle
of
the intersection.
Rural, I understand Adam's connectivity issues, and they are meaningful lots of places, and I guess if you keep adding them they will all get together, but these roads are 50 plus mile an hour roads, and yeah, you're crazy to ride in that bike lane unless you're a skilled maybe bike rider with a rear view mirror. And
well, the other thing is though, if you're coming from Renwood or whatever and heading down this way, we're not flying 50 miles an hour. You're slowing down already for what's coming ahead of you. On Monclova, if you got a green light, you can just keep trucking.
This is 50 right here.
Yeah.
But at Monclova, with the light, you can just streak right on through there, mm-hmm. where I think it's a little
I've seen people ride on 20A. We're in a rural community. I'm all for putting a walking path that's similar to what we have at our park, in this park. I'd like a bridge across the creek. Too many to do for the sledding hill, so we could do 2 for 1.
There you go.
So, there's something future plans. It usually takes long talking, 2 and 3 years, because these projects are 2 and 3 years out. So I'm not pushing it for it in the next 6 months, just trying to see if we could implement it and put it into the plans when the right-of-way comes, Alvin Road happens, and everything else.
I'll talk to the county tomorrow. Talk to Mike Stormer and see how far they can extend beyond the scope of the work zone for the roundabout.
That'd be perfect.
And then on the speaking of roundabouts, did we? Because the first one's coming up next. When do they need a decision on as far as what we'd like to landscape the center with?
I already told Mike Stormer that Salisbury at Holloway would be like the one at
King and Angola.
King and Angola, yes.
Okay.
And he said that we could do that. Wouldn't cost us anything. It'll just happen. It'll be our responsibility then. But
right.
They'll draw up that agreement, but that's what I told him we were interested in doing. Since it's already designed, don't have to hire any landscape architects.
Talking about roundabouts, Monclova and Weckerly, I think the county three trees are dead again, and it looks awful. It looks awful.
Did you get that chance to go to the one in Bowling Green?
No, I have not. Matter of fact, I forgot about it. Sorry.
There was one at
Aries.
There's one at as you're going east on Wooster right at the top of that expressway. So it's brownish tan rock, and they got trees in there. I mean, relatively lower maintenance, again, but I thought it was attractive compared to our dump rock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is full of weeds, by the way.
The weeds were sprayed last Thursday or Friday.
Okay.
So they should be croaking any time.
All the rain has not keeping them.
It's sad. I live in the middle of 200 acres, and the crops are just bad.
We need rain, yeah.
Desperately.
But yes, I noticed when I was coming to work, it was either Thursday or Friday, I saw the weeds coming up in the rocks up there. So I sent Doug an email when I got to work, and he said, Osborne noticed that yesterday, and he sprayed them this morning already. So it was done. So our guys do watch.
All right, anything else?
We have a special meeting planned for the 12th.
Oh, yeah, I did hear that.
I can't be here at 4. I had a meeting with my work calendar. My mother-in-law is having surgery.
Can
I make it by 5? Yeah, I might be able to make it by 5.
Yeah.
And it's about sitting down and talking fire, right?
Yeah. So on the 12th, we're going to go. Does that work on your schedule, 5
sure.
versus 4? This is me.
Just cancel the meeting.
It's probably even a better idea.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. But you all talk about that. I'll put it on for 5 right now.
So the 266-4022?
It's my cell phone.
Okay. I thought that's the number I was texting.
Right. That's all right. It didn't work out that way. And I don't think I missed anything critical or I would have been informed, but people might have thought I was rude. You're sitting here?
All right.
This is me.
You're not rude. No. When you don't respond to a text, maybe, right?